Hello, and welcome to the podcast of the Marketplace Movement, where our vision is to reach, enhance, and advance lives. It is our prayer that you hear something during this podcast that both transforms and furthers you in the things of God. So, grab your notebook and Bible, and let's dig into the Word together.
Let's pray, and then we'll jump in. Lord, please help us. Amen. All right, so Hebrews chapter 2, in Hebrews chapter 2, the Hebrew writer has been giving us some good news about the finished work of Jesus, amen? Now, let me be clear, and I said this on Sunday, when you look at the work of Jesus, the finished work of our Lord and Savior, prior to the New Testament, prior to the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, death was final. I want you to think about what I'm just saying. Death was just final. You don't have any true eschatological framework in the Old Testament that is pervasive. There was no, we gonna see the Lord, we gonna see him forever. That kind of wasn't there in the Old Testament. It was like, you just gonna die. And that was it. Now, I'm not saying that lightly or for us to overlook it. Jesus literally ushered in a concept of, so you mean to tell me we living forever? Because prior to Jesus, go ahead, do a reading of the Old Testament. Jesus literally ushered in. So when Jesus, like in John, and I read a little bit of it Sunday. So when Jesus, like, I go away to prepare a place for you. They were like, where's that? Think about it. When we read that, there's normally a funeral text. When we read that and, you know, it says, he said, where are you going and how shall we know the way? His response, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man come to the Father but by me, right? So when we read that, we often look at Thomas like, well, why would you say such a thing? I'm telling you why he said it, because he was like, I don't understand what you're talking about. You go away to prepare a place, and then you're going to come and receive us unto yourself, that where you are, there we may be also. What are you even talking about? They had no framework for that. Jesus comes, and he gives a framework of basically saying, listen, I'm about to change the way you look at your entire life, by also making something available to you that nobody else can make available. But it's not just for the life to come, it's also for now. And so I want us to read through collectively, because I jumped through a few verses on Sunday, but I want us to read through together Hebrews chapter 2. Go there in your Bibles and let's look at verse 9. We there? But we do see him who was made for a little while lower than the angels, namely Jesus, because of the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, so that by the grace of God, he might taste death for who? For everyone. For it was fitting for him, for whom are all things and through whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to perfect the author of their salvation through suffering. So far, here's what we know in this text. We know that Jesus tasted death for everyone. Do we agree? Yes. Wonderful. We also find out that something was perfected in Jesus when he suffered. That's what we just read. Are y'all good with this? Something happened to Jesus on the cross. I'll give it to you in a simpler way. Do we agree?
Yes.
Okay. Verse 11. For both he who sanctifies and those who are sanctified are all from one Father. Stop. It's about to get good. Both he who sanctifies, that's Jesus, and those who are sanctified, that's us, are all from one Father. For which reason, he's not ashamed to call them brethren. Whoa, wait a minute. The one who sanctifies, that's Jesus, and the one who's being sanctified, that's me, We come from one place. That's God. Lord have mercy. And Jesus in that form calls us brothers, Lord Jesus. And so watch this. We began to see that everything that was taking place for Jesus was also taking place for us. I'll do it again. Everything that's taking place for Jesus is also taking place for us. So the resurrection of Jesus is also the resurrection of us. Oh, let's keep going. Does that make sense? Brother Art's like, So Jesus rose so that we could also rise. Lord, it's gonna get better. Verse 12, please. Saying, I will proclaim your name to my brethren. In the midst of the congregation, I'll sing your praise. And again, I'll put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children whom God has given me. Therefore, verse 14, since the children share in flesh and blood. Now, wait. Since the children, we, one father, brethren, children, that's us. We share in flesh and blood. Talking about my siblings. Got it. So since the children share in flesh and blood, he himself, capital H, capital H. Y'all see that? So we're talking about deity. He himself likewise also partook of the same, that through death he might render powerless him, small h. Ooh, I love the Bible. Him, small h, because the devil is not a god. God is not a man, but the devil is actually less than a man. Oh, I love it. I love it because watch this. If the Lord was only a little lower than the angels for a little while, but now he is seated, but I'm also seated with him. Come on, y'all. And all things are under my feet. Come on, build your case, Hebrews. All things are under your feet. And so here it is. Through death, he might render powerless him, small h, him who had, past tense. Come on, work the text. Him who had the power of death. So had, making it past tense, means he don't have it no more. He don't have this no more. He had it, and I told y'all Sunday, the devil got chin checked. I told y'all that I'm telling you, he had the power of death, that's the devil. Verse 15, I love this verse. And might free those who through fear of death were subject to slavery all their lives. So wait a minute here. So you want to free the people who were afraid of death, and because they were afraid of death, they were bound.
Oh my gosh.
And when you died, Jesus, you freed all the people who didn't have nothing to look forward to. Because before you coming, death was the end. So by you coming, you gave everybody something to look forward to, and they were no longer bound by the fear of what was to come because they knew that you were on the other side of death. Oh, yes. Let's keep teaching. I'm having a good time. Y'all right? Come on, deep breaths. All right? So again, we share in flesh and blood. We came from the same Father. Are y'all walking with me? We all came from the same Father. So write this down. The victory that we see and have in Jesus is a victory for the entire body.
Yes.
I'll give it to you again. The victory that we see and have in Jesus is a victory for the entire body. Do y'all need it one more time? I said three times. The victory that we see and have in Jesus is a victory for the entire body. Y'all ready? Let's go further. I'm going to ask some questions. Y'all can just go ahead and shout the answer out. Is Jesus in bondage?
No.
He's not in bondage. Okay. Is Jesus possessed?
No.
No, Jesus not. Oh, he's not a prayer. Is Jesus a sinner?
No.
And so if I got no, no, and no, why are we?
Yeah.
All right, I'll go one step further. How can the head be healthy and the body sick? In the Old Testament, watch this, when God was frustrated with the community, he said, the reason that the people are acting bad is because the head is sick. Yeah. Ain't that what he said? Yeah. He said, the head is sick. That's the problem. The reason that all of these people, the children of Israel, acting the way they acting is because the head is sick. So what was God showing us in the Old Testament? The condition of the head speaks to the condition of the body. So the head can't be healthy and the body sick unless, oh, I'll get to the unless in a minute. All right, does that make sense? We good so far? Let me give you three principles before I move on. Give you three principles. Because remember, if Jesus is good, I'm good. And we actually see this when Jesus is was in the earth. Remember Jesus being asleep in the boat?
Yes.
Oh, boy. Remember he's sleeping in the boat, and they come in, and they say, Master, do you not care that we're perishing? Right? And basically, he's like, wait a minute. First of all, if I'm resting, why are you worried? But I'll give you even another passage. Watch. As long as I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world.
Yeah.
Well, he's not here. So you know what he said? You the salt of the earth.
Yeah.
You the light of the world.
Yeah.
You know, and so we have to start asking ourselves this question. Why am I going through so much and Jesus ain't going through?
Mm. Yes.
Why am I stressed when the master is asleep? Three principles before I move on. The head of the body does not benefit apart from the body itself. The head of the body does not benefit apart from the body itself. It is no way in the world that the head is good and the body is bad. It's just not true. The head of the body does not benefit apart from the body itself. All right? Now, I want you to think about this and even think about your own anatomy. If you're not feeling well, nobody says, my stomach is sick. You say, I don't feel good. Because when you speak about the health of your body, we're wise enough to understand that when a part of me hurts, all of me is. Is that right? All of me has a problem. Well, the same principle has to apply to us relationally with God. Is God okay? Yeah, he's fine. Why aren't you? Number two, as one member of the body of Christ benefits, the entire body benefits. As one member of the body of Christ benefits, the entire body benefits. How many of you like ice cream? Come on, let me see if you like, hands up if you like ice cream. I like ice cream. My favorite is cookies and cream. Okay, that's my favorite. Cookies and cream for the win. Okay, all right, we're going with that. Now watch this. You only have taste buds in your mouth. It's the only area that has taste buds, but all of you enjoys the ice cream. She's sitting up there like, true. Like, it's not, and all of you participates in the enjoyment.
Yes.
Your hand will never taste the ice cream, but you need its full participation to get the spoon to your mouth. Don't play with me right now. We are eating ice cream. Don't play with me right now. Like, I need everybody involved. I don't need nobody else to go off on no other missions, right? I need my eyes to be focused. I need full participation because we are about to enjoy ice cream, even though only your taste buds tasted it. And the taste buds told the rest of the entire body, this is great. One member received the blessing and the entire body benefited. Y'all with me so far?
Yes.
Just 1 minute. Yeah, the smallest, that little tongue, it received the blessing. The rest of the body said, wow, we enjoyed that ice cream. But only one part of you tasted it. Can you imagine how worship, praise and worship would be in the church if the testimony of one caused the entire body to enjoy? We won't praise God until we taste. But what if you're not the tongue? Y'all walking with me so far? Getting quiet in here. I love it. Number three. Came back to understanding. I love it. And let me say this before I get to number three. Watch this. I was reading Elder Chantry's in Revelations where overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Here's where I think we missed that text. And they overcome. By the word of their. Plural. They overcame. All of us overcame. Even if all of us didn't testify. Because we're part of a body. Here's number three. Access into the body of Christ requires immersion and not just decision. Oh, yes. Access to the body of Christ requires immersion and not just decision. Now, this is an important point for us to realize because a lot of people make a decision and don't get immersed. You can say, I want to be a part of the body. That don't mean nothing. I'm glad you do. But I want to be. Decision should lead you to immersion. Let me go ahead and do what's required.
Yes.
Okay? So let's be clear here. I'll go back to number one and I'm going to read a text. The head of the body does not benefit apart from the body itself. That's number one. Number two, as one member of the body of Christ benefits, the entire body benefits. Number three, access into the body of Christ requires immersion and not just decision. So if I'm going to benefit based upon the condition of the head, I want to be a part of that body. And if I'm going to benefit based upon how the rest of the body is benefiting, I want to be a part of that body. But I can't be a part of that body if I'm simply saying I want to be a part. I have to be immersed. So go to 1 Corinthians 12. Go to 1 Corinthians 12. Y'all following along with me? Mm-hmm. 1 Corinthians 12, and we're going to start at verse 12. I need this to make sense to everybody. For even as the body is, what's the next word? Y'all ain't paying attention. Y'all were still turning in y'all pages. I'll wait. Like a good teacher. I'll wait. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. We ready? All right. For even as the body is what? And yet has how many members?
Many
members. All the members of the singular body, though they are many, are one singular body. Y'all with me here? Just like the word ecclesia is a plural word for a singular entity. Ecclesia means church, right? So the church is one body, but many members. Does that make sense? Okay. There are many, one body, so also is Christ. Wait a minute. Sometimes I think we read this too fast, Elder Karen. Let's do it again. For even as the body is one, yet has many members, all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is Christ. So now Christ just said that he is one body with many members. See, the thing is, Christ just knows what member he is.
Amen.
Christ knows he's the head of the body. He also tells us that the body that he's talking about is actually the church. The problem that we have is we don't know what part of the body we are. And we have people with imposter syndrome trying to be parts of the body that they are not. Amen. I need you to go ahead and be yourself. Does that make sense? Now look at verse 13, please. For by one Spirit, we were all baptized into one body, Jew, Greek, slave, free. We're all made to drink of one Spirit. Stop. For by one Spirit, you were baptized, baptizo, immersed into one body. What, for by one Spirit, do y'all see that? For by one Spirit, notice it don't say by water. Because the water does not immerse you into the body, the Spirit does. You can be wet all you want to and still not be a part of the body. If the water in the pool immediately made you a part of the body, everybody that's ever been baptized would be in the body. Right? But that's not the case. But the thing that we need to understand, and I think that we haven't spent enough time on as the body of Christ, is the Lord says, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. So wait a minute here. We got a problem, Bishop Desmond Daphne. If there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, then what's the difference between being baptized in the body, being baptized into water, being baptized with fire, being baptized with the Holy Ghost, all of these different baptisms, but then you said, Paul, that there's only one baptism. What's going on? And then you turn around and says, baptism doth now save. That's the scripture. And so now I got one denomination that says, if I ain't gone in the pool, I ain't saved. You got another denomination that tells me, if I ain't been baptized in the Holy Ghost, I ain't saved. If I ain't spoken tongues, I ain't saved. And then they all want to point to baptism, doth now save. And then I see Paul tells the church at Ephesus, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. And then I done seen about 5-6 baptisms in the Bible. So which one is it? Do I baptize you in Jesus' name? Do I baptize you in the name of the Lord? Do I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost? Lord, what are you saying? He says, I can tell you exactly what I'm saying. Tell you exactly what I'm saying. Until you are immersed in everything I am, you have nothing. The one baptism is allowing God to literally immerse you in his fullness. And until that happens, you ain't been baptized. And his fullness comes with everything. Lord, have mercy. One of the reasons, here we go. One of the reasons that the early church baptized formulaically in Jesus' name is because in him dwelled the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So that was the only name in which they could pronounce, in which they understood that everything was coming with it. But they also understood the name meant his character. So they weren't using it like hocus pocus or abracadabra. They were using it saying, all of you is here. Yes. And many of us, if we tell the truth, we jumped in the water and didn't know what we were doing. Because somebody was like, all right, you're a member of the church. Because it is possible to be at the church but not in Christ. Okay, so what happened is you done heard one sermon and you got convicted a little bit and you was like, oh Lord, better get my life right because hell is hot and heaven is sweet and I don't want to burn forever, right? I don't want to burn forever because hell is hot and heaven is sweet and I want the streets made of gold and I don't want weeping and gnashing of teeth and I want the pearly gates, but I don't want the tongue to cleave to the roof of my mouth and then I want to make sure that every day is howdy, howdy and never goodbye and I don't want my bed to become my cooling board and I want the cattle of 1,000 hills and I don't want to beg for a drip of water that's coming to my tongue, but I can't have none, can't quench my thirst, and so I want heaven because heaven is sweet and hell is hot. Yes. And so let me go ahead and give my hand to this preacher's hand, even though I don't even know what I'm signing up for. Yes. And that's how many people came to Christ, and you ain't been baptized yet. No, I went down in Jesus' name. What is his name? See? What is his character? Yes. What were you immersed in? When did you get his fullness? See, it says, for by one Spirit, we were all immersed into the body. Is this making sense? So I got these 3 points, 3 principles. The head of the body does not benefit apart from the body itself. We agree. Yes. Beautiful. Because if you think that the head of the body can benefit apart from the body itself, you tell me how your head can be great and your body can be not great. Because if you're not great, nothing's great. Amen?
Amen.
And if you think that everything can be a part, here's what I need you to do. I need you to go home. I need you to turn out all the lights in your bedroom. Make sure all the lights is turned out. Make sure it's really dark. Get you in a good sleep. I mean, I want you to get sleeping really good. And I want you to swing them feet out the bed in the middle of the night where you don't know what's going on. And I need you to take your pinky toe and just bam it right against the edge of the bed. Make sure you slam that pinky toe against the edge of the bed. And you tell me if the entire body don't say, we got a problem. Your whole body gonna be like, excuse me, we have a problem here. Emergency battle stations, right? So the head of the body does not benefit apart from the body. Number two, as one member of the body of Christ benefits, the entire body benefits. Number three, access into the body of Christ requires immersion and not just a decision. I got to accept and adhere to these principles. Not just accept and adhere. Right. So accepting, I agree. Adhering, I behave like I do.
Yes.
I have to accept and adhere. See, too much of our preaching is about acceptance and not about adherence. Yeah. Too much of our teaching demands acceptance and not adherence. We make the point but don't actually hold people accountable to their adherence.
Yes.
Right? And then we wonder why we're not receiving anything we're supposed to receive, because you accept it but you didn't adhere to. Some of the things that we say we accept, I look at your behavior and you're a liar. Amen. Now, here's the thing. And I want you to, because I said this a couple of weeks ago. When I accept and I adhere to these three principles, now I'm in the growth chamber. I don't want you guys to forget this growth chamber. Please don't forget it. You're in the growth. Soon as I accept it, yes, I agree. I adhere it. I'm going to act like it. I'm in the growth chamber. What is the growth chamber? Four phases. Believe, behave, become, and benefit. Some of y'all's pens was moving too slow. She going back in her notes. It's in there. It's in there. Believe is four B's. Believe, behave, become, and benefit. That's your growth chamber. Those are the phases right there. And so as soon I got to accept, then I got to adhere, and I'm in the chamber. All right, we ready to go. We growing now. We growing. Anything else, you got to ask yourself the question, what am I doing? What am I doing? See, it is time out for us to continue to gather with no growth expectation.
That's good right there.
Come on now. In any other sphere of life, in the absence of growth, you say what's wrong. Except for the modern church. Oh, I'm having a good time tonight. In any other sphere of development, if you're not growing, we would take you to the doctor because your growth is stunted.
Yeah.
Do I need to change your nutrients? Are you not eating right? If you had a baby, come on, some of y'all got little ones in here. If your baby stops growing right now, you're going to the doctor. And you're going to be like, wait a minute, what's going on? Am I feeding it wrong? Is something up? Do I have a sickness? Is there a bone deficiency? Is there something going on? Do we need to do anything about this? Because why is the baby not growing when they're supposed to? They're supposed to grow. The church is the only entity, the only body that we don't seem to care that we have grown infants. People who've been in the church for 50 years, but still have the entire acumen of a one-year-old. Have the mentality. They still throw tantrums like one-year-olds. Come on now. I expect babes in Christ to get frustrated about certain things because they're babes. But when we've been doing this for a long time, come on, y'all. Come on. And so what we've done is we have acceptance but not adherence. But you got to get in this growth chamber. Believe, behave, become, and then you benefit. And this is why you end up with disgruntled longtime church members, because they've been in church for a long time but never benefited. This is also why they've been there for a long time and they expect so much to come from the institution because they've never learned to be a part of a body. And so they jump from building to building. The freedom, write this down. The freedom of the head and the freedom of the body cannot be separated. Y'all need it again? The freedom of the head and the freedom of the body cannot be separated. Third time. The freedom of the head and the freedom of the body cannot be separated. And this brings me to the point that I was going to make a little bit earlier. If you find yourself where the head is healthy, which we've all agreed that Jesus is healthy, right? We've all agreed that Jesus is not in bondage, right? We've all agreed that Jesus is not a sinner, right? There's people who are dealing with all of that. Okay, and notice I use that language very purposefully. Well, the freedom of the head and the freedom of the body can't be separated. So this really leaves us with two possible scenarios. Scenario one, I'm not a member of the body. I know we don't like that scenario, but if I can't separate the freedom of the body from the freedom of the head, maybe I'm not part of the body, at least not the body of Christ. I might be part of another body. Because remember, Satan does have a kingdom. Yes. And if Satan has a kingdom, Satan also has a body. Remember, watch this. Satan is an imitator. Yes. He can't create. Mm-hmm. All Satan does is play dress up. He goes to and fro as a roaring lion. He's not a lion. He just emulates. So everything that Christ is, Satan attempts to emulate. He can never be Jesus, but he tries to be like God. Y'all not in the room. What got him kicked out in the first place? I want to be like the Most High. So he has spent his entire life trying to be like God. So everything that he sees God doing that has any manner of success, he's going to try to emulate. And so if Christ has a body, he wants one too. He wants to be the head of the body just like Christ is. Now that becomes problematic. But that's what he's trying to emulate. Y'all with me here? So some of us believe that we're a part of the body. We're just a part of the wrong body. The body of Christ is the church. But Satan also has a body. And there's plenty of people who are part of that body. Now, one of the reasons that people like to be a part of the kingdom of darkness, which puts them under the headship. Watch this. Listen. Jesus said, every lie is from the devil. He is the father, the progenitor of lies. If you lie, you are of your father, the devil. Come on in here. Which means that when you behave in any type of demonic way, you become of the offspring of that devil. It makes him your father. And you his child, or him the head, and you the body. Is this making sense? And so the reason that oftentimes the kingdom of darkness seems to thrive is because it gets along. Oh. It gets along. The kingdom of darkness gets along great. It does. You don't believe it? Listen, you can get a gang. And they'll look around, and if we wear the same gang colors, we'll go to war together. That's all it took. Everybody got jumped in. Like we all good. We all do dirt together, cover up for each other. There's all manner of debauchery, right? They get along. They understand who's in charge. They got hierarchy. Come on, y'all. But in the body of Christ, what happens is we come to the body and try to keep our darkness ways. See, if you're going to be a part of one gang, you can't claim two sets. You can't do it. You can't claim two sets. That's not going to work. But we try to do it in the body of Christ. We try to claim multiple sets at the same time. Okay, y'all don't like that analogy. I'll go to another one. In my Greek analogy, you can't be both an alpha and a kappa at the same time. You can't be a delta and an AKA at once. This is not going to work out. You got to choose which one. Choose ye this day. You can't be both at the same time. Let's go denominationally. Watch this. You cannot be, under any circumstance, you can't be Roman Catholic and Eastern Orthodox. You can't do it. It's not going to work out. You need to choose ye this day. Does this make sense? Now, I bring this up because how do we come to Christ and still claim darkness. As long as that's true of us and we haven't fully embraced Jesus, you can't say you're fully a part of the body. And if I'm not fully a part of the body, hear me out, I don't get all the body benefits. I'm not a part of the body. So the head can be fine and I'm struggling, and I'm not struggling because the head is struggling. I'm struggling because my head is struggling. Jesus is like, I'm good, but you got a different leader. Your leader's having problems, but I'm not having any problems at all. So scenario one is I'm not truly members of the body. But here's scenario two. I've yielded to unnecessary bondage because I feel like I don't have a choice. So it's possible to truly be a part of the body of Christ, but you've been lied to so much that you feel like bondage is a foregone conclusion of the human existence. How many of you have ever been told you're going to fight with that forever? No, seriously. How many of you ever been told, like, you know, you're going to fight? And then they want to bring up Paul. He had a thorn. And he asked the Lord three times to get rid of his thorn. I just really need people to read that text. Because Jesus really told him the reason he wouldn't take the thorn. Jesus didn't keep the thorn in his flesh because he wanted him to remain in pain. He kept the thorn in his flesh. He said, because if I take it away, you're going to get arrogant. And so he says, I would rather you have a thorn and be humble than for me to remove the thorn and then now you got to deal with sin. For us to think that the thorn was sin is completely outside of the text. He says, you got a thorn. We don't know what the thorn was, but we do know that if Jesus took it from me, he would have been arrogant. So he says, I ain't going to take that from you because I'd rather you be humble with a thorn than arrogant without one. Which means that God knew something about Paul, that there was still something going on with him that he couldn't live free and actually be free. See, if you've demonstrated, okay, I'll give it to you in parent logic. You don't know how to act. Y'all act like y'all parent ain't never said that. Hey, you out here like you don't know how to act. You act like, now I done gave you some time outside, and you act like you don't know how to act. And go back inside because you don't know how to act out here, right? See, here's the thing. Some of us, the Lord is like, nah, I done gave you some opportunity and you out here like you ain't got no home training. Like you don't know how to act. And here's the reality with us. And here's the way the Bible put it. Don't use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh. Don't use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh. Huh? Don't do that. For instance, some of us not mature enough to even own a TV. No, seriously, because you're gonna watch all the wrong stuff. No, really. Other people, you own a TV and be just as fine as two left shoes. You own a TV and TV ain't bothering you. Some people, you ain't mature enough for no smartphone. You need a flip. You need a flip phone that don't do nothing but dial. You don't even need text message service on your phone. Others, I see you. Others don't have no problem with that. Not bothering you at all. Go ahead.
Even with the thorn, was he not complete?
Was he not complete?
Yes.
Scripture doesn't say he wasn't complete. Scripture doesn't say that thorn made him incomplete. See, Paul was fine. He just wanted the thorn gone. Then the Lord was like, I ain't doing that. There's nothing in the scripture that says that. See, we done made that thorn sin. A lust. I mean, we done made up everything that thorn is. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that. It just tells us that if it would have left, he would have had a problem.
Okay, what I'm trying to say is I'm not seeing the thorn as sin. I'm seeing that even with that thorn, was he content? Was he peaceful? Was he...
He was peaceful after the third time. Yeah, after the third time. Yeah, and I would, to go with that, two things. One, he became peaceful. No, for real. I sought the Lord 3 times, yeah, and I had to say, forget about it. Basically, like, I'm going to have to settle into this, right, and be peaceful. So he became peaceful, but here's a secondary thing. I think he was at peace because God clarified the why. Yeah. Yeah. True peace comes when you're willing to hear truth and not get frustrated. Because the Lord is like, if I take this, you're going to get arrogant. Paul didn't push back. Paul didn't say, no, I won't. I ain't going to get arrogant. He took God at his word. He said, cool. Cool. I'll keep the thorn. So, yes, I would say he became peaceful, but he also became peaceful by accepting the word of God. If you tell me that taking this out is going to make me arrogant, keep it in. I'm good. Well, here's the thing. Easy answer, yes. But a more full answer is, if the Lord is not talking, we're not prepared to listen. Because remember, Corinthians says he wants to tell us what eye has not seen and ear has not heard. He wants to reveal it to us by the Spirit. So are there times where God is like, I'm not saying nothing to you, 100%. But that is more emblematic of our state. And God don't want to keep secrets from us. Because, again, let's think about this. Let's go back to the analogy what we have right now. We come from the same Father, right? We did read that in Hebrews 2, right? We come from the same Father, right? We're siblings, right? Yeah. Okay, it's funny. At the Tabernacle Campus, I taught this on Sunday. Even when he taught them how to pray, he said, our Father. Yeah. Oh, yeah. We're siblings. All of us are siblings. Now, what kind of parent is trying to hide stuff from one sibling to another? Right. That's not the way it works. The only time that there are secrets in the house is when we're planning a surprise for the good. Huh? You know, when I tell my son, put your mama's gifts in your room. Right? That's Christmas time, right? When? Take your gifts. Our house is the funniest thing. Everybody's gifts be in each other's rooms. I don't know where they have my gifts. We have my wife's gifts in one of the kids' rooms. And they'd be like, we got mama's gifts, right? But that's it, because that's family, right? And so if God is not speaking to you, watch this. If God's not speaking to you, but he's speaking to your brother or sister. If your brother or sister is getting outpouring, but you're not, God's like, I would talk to you just like I would talk to your sibling, but you and your sibling ain't in the same spot. Yeah. Watch this. Therefore, use what you see in your sibling to prove that I want to speak. If you see me speaking to someone, you know I'm speaking. And if you're speaking to my sibling, how about I talk to my sibling and hear what you said? Oh, see, now y'all done got quiet. If we got the same Father. Okay, so you done caught it, right? And so if I'm sitting here and I'm struggling to hear the voice of God, but I don't struggle to hear you, and you heard God, why do I have too much pride to ask you? Okay, come on now, right? If I understand the software necessary to speak to you on the horizontal plane, but I'm not mature enough to understand the spiritual technology to speak on the vertical plane, then I gotta have enough humility to talk in the plane that I know how to operate in. And so if Skano's getting these divine downloads and he's like, I know I heard God, and his track record say he do hearing for real, for real. And I don't know how to communicate on that level yet. I'd be a fool if I didn't say, what God say? See, especially if we brothers, because watch this. That's going to benefit the body. What God said? You tell me what he said. Because I haven't, watch this. I don't know how to communicate on that plane. And so step one, what God say? Step two, teach me how to use that software program. Because I done installed this new OS. And I don't know how to pull up the email program yet. I'm not sure how to communicate. I got a new OS, and the only way I knew how to communicate on my old OS was via inbox. You know, WYD. That's all I knew how to do. I don't know. You know, a big head. I know that's all I knew how to do. Ooh, that was funny to me. Oh, man. Huh? That's all I knew how to do. But here I got a new operating system. I don't know how to communicate. So somebody teach me. Do I need to download the software? Y'all missed it. What do y'all think? What do y'all think impartation is? Ooh. What do we think impartation is? Yeah. Impartation is the installation of software into the operating system. So if you come to get impartation, but you still got the old OS, the impartation don't work. This thing is feeling so great to me. Because some of the impartation you're coming to get is not going to work because your OS is incompatible. Yeah. I can't install this. Come on. So we come to the altar and lift up your hands and have no intention of deleting that operating system. Now, somebody who really has discernment needs to say, with your hands lifted, repent, because I can't do nothing with that. I can't, but we are falling in love with what the altar looks like. We have fallen in love with the theatrics of everybody tumbling all over each other instead of the truth of an altar where you have had five husbands and the one you're with now is also not your husband. You know what he was saying? You need a download, but your current software won't accept it. And until you say, I perceive you are a prophet, cool. Now I can install some software. The hour cometh and now is where the true worshipers shall worship the Father. They shall worship him in spirit and truth because the Father seeketh such to worship him. He literally downloaded future information into her life because she deleted all of the lies that she had been living under. So you have to ask yourself the question, am I a member of the body of Christ or am I a member of another body? Have I yielded to unnecessary bondage because I don't think I have a choice? Go to Ephesians 2. I had two passages, but I'll read one. Unless we get through this one quickly, but I doubt it. Ephesians 2. Because Paul was trying to teach the people this. Are y'all learning something or no? Okay. Y'all learning something? Okay. I got to make sure y'all too right there, because you know what I'm saying. Ephesians 2. Now, I read some of this on Sunday, but Paul was trying to teach them and we kept missing it. Paul was trying to show the church at Ephesus, like, look, guys, there's a benefit to being a part of this body. That old body you was with, that one wasn't going to do it. So he says in Ephesians 2, you were dead. You were dead. Watch this. In your trespasses and sins. Stop. You were dead in the old body. What was the old body? Trespasses and sins. Oh, Keisha Simon. Watch this. That the body of sin may be done away with. Yes. So watch this. Sin has a body. Yeah. And if sin has a body, sin also has a head. It's the devil. Come on now. He just said you were dead in your trespasses and sin. In the old body, death was final. Are y'all following this? Yes. Verse 2. In which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, spirit that is now working in sons of this. Leave this up. You were walking according to the prince. That's the head. Come on. That's who was running the show. Because sin has an agenda. Every demonic spirit has a script. Whew. Every demonic spirit has a script. It has an agenda. It comes into your life with a set of things that it wants to accomplish. The devil comes to steal, kill, destroy. And every spirit has a script. Anger has a script. Depression has a script. Suicide has a script. Lust of the eyes has a script. And so when you're walking according to the head, you're in the body of sin. And the end point of the body of sin is a death that has absolutely no end game to it. It's over. Does that make sense? Verse 3. Among them, we too all formerly lived. Lord, have mercy. We lived in the lust of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the... Are y'all paying attention to this imagery of the body? Some of us were there. We were members of the body, the wrong one. Yeah. Now, y'all keep looking at me like, I ain't never done nothing wrong. That's fine. But I needed some of us to admit, Lord, I was a card-carrying member of the wrong body. I mean a card-carrying member of the wrong body. Verse 4, please. But God, being rich in mercy because of his great love, which he loved us, is my favorite verse. Verse 5, even when we were dead in our transgression, I was dead in that body, he made us alive with Christ. Lord, by grace, now this is where the definition of saved is really going to start making sense. By grace, you've been rescued. Yeah. Oh, yeah. You snatched me out of one body and put me in another. You rescued me from the fate of the body of sin. Because the wage of sin is, come on, y'all. The wage, the necessary payment for living in the body of sin is I got to die. But the gift of God is eternal forever life. The presence of the divine within man. Okay? So by grace I've been rescued. Verse 6, please. And raised us up with him, seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Keep going. Verse 7. So that in the ages to come, he might show the surpassing richness of his grace and kindness towards us. So wait a minute. Wait. So that in the ages to come, he might show the surpassing riches of his greatness in his kindness toward us. Now, the rest of that verse says in Christ Jesus. Y'all see that? But I need you to understand something. Sometimes don't read too fast. He's going to show the surpassing richness of his grace and kindness toward us. Just put your hand over the last three words. Let that sit for a second. You're going to give me the riches of your grace and kindness towards me. But where do I have to be to get it? In Christ Jesus. If I'm not in that body, I can't get it. And that body exists in him. Well, where is he? Wherever his head is. If I'm still in the body of sin, I don't get to see the surpassing riches of his grace and kindness. Because that is toward us who are in Christ Jesus. Does it make sense? Let's keep going. Verse 8. For by grace you've been rescued through faith, not of yourself. It's a gift of God. Verse 9. Not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. Verse 10, because he's going to tell us, we are, capital H, his workmanship created. Where am I created at? So wait a minute. If I'm created in Christ and I get outside of Christ, I can't do what I'm created to do. If I'm created, if my origin story is in Christ, and I trade that body for the body of sin, I can't do what I'm created to do. I'll give you more verses to match that. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So he says that I'm created in Christ Jesus for, what am I created for? For good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them, in that body. So if I find myself not doing good works, what body am I walking in? Not that body, because that body only made for good works. Come on, some of us right here, as we're listening to this verse, we need to come face to face with this painful reality. You got a lot of bodies. I'm gonna say it like I say it. I hope y'all heard it like you heard it, too. Did y'all hear it like y'all heard it? I need y'all to hear it like you heard it. Did you hear it like you needed? Was it given what it needed to give? You got a lot of bodies. Huh? Yeah, way more than you should. Play too much. Too many bodies. Amen. I'll give it to you another way. You cheating. Why did the prophet tell Hagar to go marry the harlot? Hagar to go marry the harlot. He told him to go marry the harlot because he says, I want the people to see how much of a harlot they are. He says, so go marry the harlot and she going to cheat. And she going to have kids. Stay married to her because I want the people to see who I am in you and who they are in your wife. For some of us, our entire life is that marriage. Those other bodies, you keep having kids with them. You consistently impregnate yourself outside of his body. Oh, Lord. Sister Pat over here calling on the Lord to help us. Verse 11. Therefore, remember that formerly you, Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, or the so-called circumcision, which is performed in the flesh by him. I love the way he frames this verse because he says, I want you to know I'm talking about you. You, everybody who people keep talking about. Because he's talking to a group of Gentiles who did not think that they were good enough to receive this new body. They didn't believe that they could get anything from God because they were Gentiles. And so he says, remember you formerly, Gentiles in the flesh. Let me make it 2024. Remember you who have done a lot of things. Remember you who got a lot of things that you wish that you hadn't have done and things you wish you hadn't have said and some issues you wish that you hadn't have gone through and all of that. That's you. Remember you who've made a lot of mistakes. Remember you who still, you know, got some stuff going on in your mind that you shouldn't be thinking about, huh? And some habits you shouldn't be doing. You. God's talking to you. What does it say about you in verse 12? Come on. Remember, you were at that time separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers to the covenant of promise, having no hope without God in the world. That is our standing when we're outside of the body. I'm separate from Christ, excluded. See, this is. When it says excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, please understand, he's talking to Gentiles. And what he's saying is, we know what Israel's going to get. You're separate from even their promises. Never mind, that's another whole Bible study. Strangers to the covenant. I ain't trying to be no stranger to the covenant. Come on now, especially when the Bible say, like in Galatians, if you be Christ, you're Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. I want that. Give me the promises. Having no hope without God in the world, this is a problem. Get me back in my right body. Huh? Verse 13. But now in Christ, but now in Christ Jesus, you who formerly were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Verse 14. For he himself is our peace, who made both groups into one. Broke down the barrier of the dividing wall. Yes. Verse 15. By abolishing, watch this, I love this. He abolished in his flesh the enmity. Enmity, deep-rooted dislike. He abolished the enmity, which is the law of the commandments contained in ordinances, so that in himself he might make the two into one new man and establish peace. Oh, I love that. So you mean to tell me that through what Jesus did, he broke down all the disagreements and made a new man? He broke down the enmity. I'll give it to you simple. He ain't mad. He broke all that down. He abolished the enmity. See, because people who don't understand. I saw somebody go on this whole social media diatribe talking about God didn't have no wrath. Jesus didn't experience any of God's wrath. I'm like, y'all just make up stuff. Y'all just make up stuff for the good of making it up. Because, again, sin stinks in his nostril, and the world was full of sin. And so Jesus came in and abolished all of that in his flesh and created peace if you just become a part of his body. Let me get in there. Verse 16, and this is the last verse. And might reconcile them both in one body to God through the cross, by it having put to death the enmity. Now, I'll pick up here on Sunday, on good old Mother's Day. But I need y'all to understand, Jesus put the disagreement to death. Never mind. He put all of that deep-rooted dislike, he put all that to death. That's every time I hear enmity, that's what I hear, deep-rooted dislike. I hear the actual definition. Y'all pray for me. But he put all that to death. He's like, we done with that. In other words, we cool. We wasn't cool until I saw the blood, but now that I saw the blood, we cool. And if we don't believe that, why did the veil get rent? The dividing wall? Come on, y'all. The dividing wall. Prior to Jesus dying on the cross, there was a veil, and you couldn't go in there without certain qualifications. And once Jesus dies, the veil of the temple is rent in two, signaling that we now all have access. In other words, the wall is broken. Y'all can all come in. We cool? Right. From the top down, right? Like, we good? We good? And the beauty behind all of that, the veil was rent with no human interaction. The priest didn't go in there and tear it. It tore itself. Right, from the top down. Outside of reach. It tore itself. Like, come one, come all. We good. His death did something that no other death can do. And once you see somebody going in and out of the holy place, why are you staying outside? Okay. If you see your sibling going in and out of the holy place, and we got the same father, and the father gave you access, I ain't standing outside. I'm going there with you. Do we need to hold hands? I mean, what we need to do to get in here? You tell me what we need to do to get in here. You going in and out, skipping, whistling while you work. I'm going in here with you. Does it make sense to y'all?
Yes, sir.
Lord, thank you for this word. Thank you for truth. Thank you for the challenge. Now, God, allow us to not just be hearers, but we want to be doers of your word so we don't deceive ourselves. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Bless you now.
Thank you for listening to the podcast of the Marketplace Movement. Remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So I challenge you to make hearing the word a consistent habit. And if you know someone who may benefit from hearing this teaching, I encourage you to send it to them as well. May God bless you. May heaven smile upon you and give you peace. This is my prayer.